My name is Lou A, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was shooting dice in Atlantic City Casino 29 years ago. When writing this step, I need to review my journey. In step one, I admit again that I'm a compulsive gambler and my life was unmanageable. I go to meetings, network with other compulsive gamblers until I believe the God of my understanding will restore me to sanity. Every day in prayer, I make the decision to practice step three, where I turn my will and my life over to this power of my own understanding. Step four is where I test my honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I got to turn the page. I'm reading this.
Great. Larry's in.
I write my present moral and financial inventory. My wife of 63 years, Millie A., is the recipient of my behavior. The remaining eight surrender steps is my goal for carrying the message of hope for the compulsive gambler who still suffers. Thank you.
Thank you, Lou. Bobby D., you're next.
Okay, Bob D., compulsive gambler, 31 years, my last bet. Step four, like many other steps to me, it really helps expose the myth that GA is primarily a stop gambling program. It's not primarily a stop gambling program. It's primarily a recovery program. Getting rid of my character defects, allowing me to join the human race, etc. Naturally, you must stop gambling to work on your character defects, but the main goal is to improve your life through changing your character defects. And I found that by far and away, step four is the most effective step in working on your recovery. I think to be effective, it's got to be in writing, and you got to do it pretty religiously. I did it religiously every day for 2 years. And when you do it in writing and you read it every day, you have the best chance to be honest. If I'm talking to people, I'm manipulating and I'm not focusing on myself. If I'm writing every single day, reading it every day, my odds of being honest and focusing on what my defects are go up tremendously. And when I'm starting reading every single day and focusing on what I've been doing wrong, I see that I don't like what I see, my dishonesty, my cheating, et cetera, et cetera. And that in and of itself motivates me to change, reading it, digesting it, and not liking what I see. And when I look at myself like that every day, the change comes. And that in and of itself is a reward because my chances of relapsing go down tremendously because I start really feeling good about myself. And I don't need to hide behind the bet because a bet to me is just an escape. And the escape doesn't become as necessary as I change my defects and start joining the human race. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Andy.
I'm Andy D. I'm a compulsive gambler.
Hi, Andy.
My last bet was 17 years ago. You know, for this step four, I was told that I had to be honest and I had to be courageous. And this step, I really had to use both of those newfound skills because I didn't possess them at the time. And being under great financial pressure, I decided to do the financial inventory first. And you know, I was given the pressure relief handbook, and I started out. And I was told to sit down with my wife, and we sat down, and you know, put things on paper, and they told me to really be honest and don't lie, and I did that, and it caused a lot of arguments, but we got through it. You know, we got through our first pressure relief, and in reality, I never knew how much money I made or spent or where the money was going. I just really didn't know it. It just went from, you know, my pocket out. It didn't really matter. But we put everything down on the paper, and there was a plan. You know, there was a plan. And not only did I know where my money was going, but I also found out where every dollar of my money had to go. You know, and that was the start for me. It opened up a lot of stuff for me. The moral inventory really difficult for me to look at myself and see those things, you know. I came into Gamblers Anonymous, and I almost really didn't believe I had a problem. You know, my only problem was getting money to gamble again. And, you know, I thought of myself as a great guy, and I was, you know, I was just a piece of shit, really. I mean, that's what I, deep down, that's what I thought about myself, you know. Like, self-esteem was super low.
I'll see what I can do. I'll give them a call and see.
I was greedy, I was dishonest, false pride. I had all of those things, and I had a, and in that portion of my life, I really caused myself a lot of guilt, which I had to deal with, and you know, that was my character. That's who I was. I think in step four, once I could put it down on paper and see. You know, see where it comes from, see what I do, and use a four-step inventory and write a lot of what I did. I can kind of get ready now, go into step five, six, and seven, and do something with the guilt, put all of that stuff. So that's what I plan on doing. And again, like every other step, when I say this, that step, it's not something I can do once and put away. I have to continue to do it. I had to continue to be honest and look at it. And I had four pressure relief groups since the first one, you know, and I did my four-step inventory a couple of times since the first one. So it's something that I just got to keep revisiting. Thank you. Be back.
Thank you. I'm Gary S., compulsive gambler, surrender date, March 23rd, 1997. Doing these steps and how we're doing them lately, you know, I'm realizing that I pretty much practice these steps on a daily basis, all right, and I look at them. You know, do I do all 12 on a daily basis? I doubt it, all right? But it, my moral of myself and my character has changed so much since prior to coming into program and being in program. You know, GA and the steps have taught me so much. And I recognize this throughout my days as it goes on. And a short story, last night I sat down with two GA people, one of them, both of them young, going through, this one guy stole from a company on it. And I'm sitting down talking to him and trying to work things out and understand the story. And his boss that fired him is all emotional and didn't understand everything about it. I said, give me a number and let me talk to him. I put a phone call into it. She called me back later on. And I didn't talk to her about trying to lessen the penalty, all right, but to try to heal the emotions that she was going through and trying to give her an understanding of what the gambling problem's all about. And we spoke for like an hour. And I left it with it as, you know, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not even suggesting what to do. I'm just saying, you know, I wanted to help you clear up some emotions and some maybe misunderstandings. And I stopped, and I thought I ended at that, and I would stayed up the night thinking about it. And I thought this morning, I said, did I do right in what I'm doing here? You know, why did I call her? And all this stuff. And went through that, and I called Irwin and explained the story to him, and he goes, well, what were you looking for to get out of it? I said, I really don't know. You know, that's what I'm calling you about. And I don't know. All right. And I had it, and I did that. All right. And I knew I had to reach out because it wasn't clear in my head. And Allah, step four, you know, it's searching what's going on in my head because I wasn't really clear about it. And thinking, yeah, maybe I could talk her out of it. Maybe I can. But that's really not the reason why I'm calling her. You know, all the bullshit that I was coming up with. All right. Well, that had nothing to do with me or my recovery, and who am I trying to impress or work out? All right, so I practice this, and I'm admitting, I don't know if I was totally wrong or totally right on it. I don't know, all right? But at least I'm able to look at myself and say, something's not right, something's not balanced. Talk to somebody about it, and that's what step four means to me, all right, that I'm able to look at myself on a daily basis and question myself, all right, and not con myself or bullshit myself. And if I think I'm going in that direction, if I think, I'm able to do that, all right, I'm human, I can wrong, all right, but at least I'm able to talk to somebody and understand what I'm doing or trying to understand what I'm doing. And that's what happened, all right, all about step four. It's a perfect story for step four, and it just happened to me last night on it. And part of it was Louis kind of gets me saying, you got to understand when the next step, make sure you know what's going on, so don't throw it from your hip, you know, talk about it, all right? And that's what I've Louis' mind and me looking, prepping myself for tonight was, hey, you know, this is what I've been doing, and I'm wrong. I have to talk about it. And that's what, to me, some of the steps in the 12-step program, there are ones that without question has to be part of your daily life, without question. Number one, no question about it. I think number four, no question about it. You know, and as we go on to others that has to just be part of who you are. Other than that, you're not changing your character defects, or I should say it the other way. You're not improving yourself as a person, as a human being. I'll leave it at that. Todd, you want to go next?
Sure. Todd G., Compulsive Gambler, March 21st of 2000. So, you know, over the past 13 years, 14 years, I've done most everything to rebuild that I think a person can do. As far as, you know, financially, I went from being a disastrous situation to semi-retirement. Physically, I've taken care of myself. Mentally, I've not only become ingrained in a 12-step program, but I've worked with a therapist. I've done other things that have been good for me. And so as far as step four, I decided today, I didn't really know what I was going to say, and I didn't even know what step we were on because I've been out of town. And I decided I would look back at the last time I wrote step four, and I would look at the things that I decided to write about, which character defects or attributes, and see how I was doing with those today. So I haven't thought about these. I'm just looking at them now on a piece of paper. So the first one I had was anger versus apathy. And I guess or anger and apathy. I don't know if it's versus. I guess I was angry at the time, and maybe I was being apathetic about things. And I would say now I really can't think of the last time I've been angry about something. I just got off the phone with a client who didn't like the way we did something, and she bitched about it for a while, and I talked it through, and I asked what she wanted, and came to a conclusion that wasn't me giving in, and it also wasn't me fighting her on it. I just kind of told her what was realistic, and I felt like I got off the phone feeling like, wow, I really, it's a different way for me to be communicating with human beings. I didn't used to do that. I'd fight somebody, I'd freak out about things not working out perfectly, I would just kowtow down to them and do whatever they wanted. And, you know, we had an adult conversation, and I think the way that I steered it made her react in a better way, and I'm proud that I can be different in that way today. I don't get angry very often. I'm also not terribly apathetic. I'm involved, but I'm not overbearing. I had a critical written down here, and I used to really have strong opinions on everybody and people's the way people thought, the way people acted, and now I kind of accept that each person is how they are. I'm not going to change them most likely, and so I look at how I am in each situation, and again, that makes me feel more grounded. I had controlling written down here, and while I still like to be in charge of things, I think I can accept other people being involved, and I can actually hand things off sometimes, whether that be in work, whether that be in personal situations. I can let other people have their say and understand that it doesn't always have to be my way. That's also very different than it used to be. And I think a lot of reason I gambled, it was one thing that I felt I could control even though I was out of control. Let's see here. Living in fantasy. I sometimes still live in fantasy. I want the perfect relationship. It hasn't happened. It's been a long time. So I do things to fantasize about it, and I haven't quite gotten there. But I also have this kind of feeling, which goes with the groundedness of everything else, that things are going to work out. And, you know, surrounding myself with good people and friends prevents me from being lonely and allows me to have more of an opinion that things will work out. My sarcasm has gone down. It used to be really violent. And now it's more, I kid around, but not
heavy.
In a way to hurt people. Is everybody okay?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just looking through. There are a few other things. I think I've gotten a little more disciplined. I've gotten a lot more relaxed. And that's the one thing I'm really noticing when I look at step four today, that the common theme among all these attributes and defects is I've just become a lot more relaxed person. And when I came into GA, I met a lot of people who, even though they might have had strong opinions and were older than me and had more time in the program, they seemed to have some kind of the commonality was everybody was a little bit more relaxed. They kind of became the people that they'd always wanted to be, or they were on their way to that, and they weren't as panicked and crazy as I was. And I noticed that about myself now, that I'm certainly getting there, and other people have mentioned that to me as well. And that's what GA has done for me. It's allowed me to be a better version of who I always could have been and am becoming now. Thanks.
Dave B., compulsive gambler, May 12, 1975. Step 4 presents one of a number of paradoxes that exist in the Gamblers Anonymous Fellowship Program. When I first came into the fellowship, I was told a few things that I remember from the first couple of meetings. Number one, money's not your problem. Gambling's your problem. And then I was told that in 3 or 4 weeks I'd be given a pressure relief group meeting, which was explained to me as a budget and as an opportunity to come clean on all other issues pertaining to my gambling and the beginning of my recovery. I was also told that the Gamblers Anonymous program would help me restore my self-esteem, the way that I felt about myself. And then I was bombarded with the idea that because I gambled, I was low life, I was degenerate. And it was confusing to me because those things seemed to be disparate and not consistent. I did have my pressure relief group meeting, budget meeting, I think about 3 or 4 weeks after I came in. And, I'm happy to say that after 38 years, Gloria and I still follow that budget. And it made life really simple. All I had to do was work, give her the money, she took care of things. And, as a matter of fact, I don't know how long ago it was, Larry, but probably maybe 3 or 4 years ago, Gloria and I sat with Larry and Doris, and we had a reevaluation, and it was most helpful and useful at the time. Thank you, Larry. So the part that dealt with the finances seemed to be really easy to deal with. Reflectively looking back on it, living on a budget has been quite helpful to me, not only in helping me keep away from gambling, but in organizing my life. And because of that, I was able to, just work, and all those things were all taken care of within due time. the justification in my head for doing the moral inventory, which was much more difficult, was that as I read the little white book, which became the little yellow book a number of years ago, it said that in several places it indicated what the necessity for bringing about this progressive character change within oneself, and it indicated that, you know, one of the things it indicated that this would be the most difficult, time-consuming job with which we are faced, but it should be started immediately. And of course, I didn't start it immediately. I still held on to a number of the characteristics and the behaviors that made my life and people surrounding me difficult. And it was doing the fourth step and writing it out. It was about my behavior, which was contrary to the things that, to the way I was brought up, was contrary to what I really knew as proper, and certainly something that did not fit into the community standard for morality. And it had nothing to do with any kind of religious connotation. It had to do that because of gambling, I behaved in a way that was destructive, unacceptable, and dangerous. I really had to look at, you know, how was I going to identify these things?
It's over.
And I was hello?
What time?
Yeah.
Joe.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Stop.
Yeah, hi. I'm sorry. Yeah. The other phone rang. I went to grab it for a second.
Okay.
I apologize.
Steve B. is still doing his therapy. Go ahead.
Yes, he's still doing his therapy, or he finished?
Yeah. No, he's not. Hang out there, Joe. Go ahead, Steve.
I'll be finished in just 1 minute. The way that I was told to do the moral inventory was to write down the strengths, positive things about my character before I went into the things which were considered defects. And that was uplifting to me because it answered the question, how do I deal with all of these negative things about myself and when I knew that there were some positive things? So I was able to, after some period of time, because I didn't do this when I first came in, I was able to look back and say, because I don't gamble today, now I'm able to be able to practice kindness, generosity, honesty, humility, and so forth. And I didn't look at the negative things of my behavior just as a defect. I looked at it as I was on some continuum. I needed to improve things like my procrastination. I needed to deal with anger in a healthy way. I certainly needed to not be selfish, and I needed to be moving towards those spiritual principles which we practice. And the fourth step gave me that opportunity to do that, and I agree with I agree with Todd and some of the other speakers who spoke before that this is an ongoing process. This is not something you do once and then just put it in the drawer. It's something that needs to be worked in conjunction with all the other steps. And as we go around in the circle, as we go around from 1 to 12 and then back to 1 again, we see that new things always come up, not just with step 4, but with each of the steps. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Steve M.
Hi, I'm Steve M. Compulsive Gambler. I'm last bet January 2nd, 1997. And, I got to say that I look at this, and it's really hard for me because I sit there and I think I live like a dual life, and it's so hard to admit, but it's the right place to admit it. I sit there and in one way, when it comes to things outside of business and outside of things that I need to that I do to make a living, which are honest things. But I never write this stuff down. I do tend to write on things of was I kind today? When I get angry, I know Bob had taught me a long time ago to write it 1,000 times, because I used to have really bad problems with anger, and I don't have those problems anymore. And just to write about it until I got tired of writing about it, and it worked. But I sit there and I look at the moral part as I run my life on the business side, and I so easily justify selling situations when I'm in a sales situation, and I get right back into the same thing I did when I gambled. I get right back into it. I get right back into a competitive mode where my head will start to will get the sale at all costs, and I know I don't even know what I'm saying at the time when I'm in those situations and I'll justify it, and this is what I'll justify it by saying, well, it's not the same thing. I'm going to say the truth when I'm in the room. I'm going to give people my time. I am going to be honest and open with my wife. I am going to be honest with my other affairs. But then when it comes to business, this double life comes out. I default right back to the guy who I see character things in myself that when I get into a sales situation, I have to win the sale. I have to get the sale, and at times it I don't know if I'm saying something that's good for the client or not. I tend to think we do good work. We have a good reputation, and I know we've done nice things, but I don't know it when I'm doing it, and I don't know the effect it has on others. I don't know the effect it has on me. I don't know if it's stunting my recovery. I don't know, and I guess part of this for me is this is really opening to me today. It was really opening to me to hear Larry talk about something that here's a guy that does a million press releases for people, and then. Is his press release done? Is he doing what's right? So I said it with a little embarrassment, but why are you embarrassed about it? I'm even trying to do things the right way, and which is really good for me. That's it. I don't know if that made any sense, but for me, I did, and I'll be back. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. You're lasting up.
Oh, good, and good for everybody else. I mean, listen. In other words, I won't be that long about what I'm going to say, because what I'm going to say is still happening because of the program and the way it's structured. I came in 43 years ago, and I had a gambling addiction. I stopped gambling, but I didn't feel better. And what I wanted to do is feel better. And I had no idea that it was a process that would start with step one and go down to 12 and then just keep repeating itself. And through that process, I couldn't have accomplished what I've accomplished in any other way. And I don't quite talk about it often enough, but I know it's because of the people, the program, and the repetition. And it's about being aware on a regular basis. I'll always get angry. I'll always get pissed off. I'll always make a jerk out of myself. But I won't stay there. I won't stay angry. I won't stay the fool of the day, and so on and so forth. And I don't beat myself up, and I don't stand on the box that I got all the answers. It's a special place that the program has put me, because that's what I asked for. I asked for peace. And I took myself in the direction of, one, being honest, and above all, the hardest thing was to establish some humility. And if I, how could you talk about humility and be humble? You can't. So let me shut up about humility and go on to the repetition of the steps. The steps are so unique, and you just, I just can't get them. But every time I go over it, it just jumps out of me. The choice of words in the fourth step, searching, fearless, moral, and financial. Wow, well, those are words that people don't walk around talking like that. Meanwhile, it's something that it's asking me to do, and I do it every time I get on the step. I back, and every time I'm on the step, I'm in a different place, spiritually, financially, and every other way. So I don't walk around worrying about things like I used to. I don't walk around doing anything outrageously ridiculous and outrageously outstanding. I try to keep my life as simple as possible, and enjoy trying to help other people and make them understand not what they should do, what I did, and let them figure out what they want to do in their own way, because that's the most magnificent thing about the program. It's kept giving me an opportunity to make my own decisions. We're 8-9 guys talking about this particular step. We're all handling it and dealing with it in a different way, as it should be. And we all take from each other. The best thing that I've been doing since my first meeting till this meeting right now is the ability to listen to everybody, everybody's word, everybody's... Sometimes I like the fact of even looking at them talking instead of not seeing the people on the phone. But that's okay. I'm listening to what the words are saying. And that's good enough. So to me, the program has always been, for a good long time anyway, a process and an awareness. And in that process and in that awareness, it has become a no-brainer. I live that way. I think that way. I act that way. I laugh. I cry. I get mad. I stay happy. I'm all over the place, but it's a good place, and I wouldn't change. I wouldn't change it or do without it for all the money in the world. And I keep it because I'm going to go to another meeting tonight. I'm going to go to another meeting tomorrow night. I'm going to go to another meeting next time we're on the phone, maybe Thursday. And I keep it that way. How can I not have it if I'm always dealing with life on life's terms? So my crazy days are not the same amount. They're not even close. It's a fleeting moment, and in the middle of the fleeting moment of being crazy, I stop it. And I said, where the hell are you going with this? And I start laughing. The other person starts laughing. And I take a step back, and I say, hey, take it easy, you lunatic. And I laugh. Why shouldn't I laugh? Why shouldn't I get mad? The hell's wrong with getting mad? That's a human characteristic, isn't it? So what am I going to be, the angel of the month? No, never happened. Nor do I want to it to happen. What, I can't make it all right to be angry every second of every day. That's ridiculous, and I can't even make it right when I'm doing it in the way I'm doing it, but I don't stay there. And it's a human characteristic to be imperfect. And if I think I'm going to stand here on the phone and tell you guys I know what the hell I'm doing, this is the way to do it. I can't say that. It's impossible. I can say this is the best my life has been, and it's because I use this program on a regular basis. This step before this, the step after it, and it's just that's the way it works for me. And thanks much, everybody.